All right, most of you know a chorus that we sing normally on Sunday nights when we meet as well, but you probably learned it before in your life. I have decided to follow Jesus, right? Let's sing that right now, shall we? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, that I can follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. It's always a blessing to sing. It's always a blessing to think of the words. And the most important thing, I think, was in the third verse of that little chorus that we probably learned when we first got saved. And one of the first things, but you know, you got to make that decision to make the cross before you, to follow the Lord, to keep close to the Lord and the world behind you. That's in the rearview mirror. That's not the way you need to be heading now. Today, people that don't learn that simple chorus, they get away from God, get away from the church, get away from the preaching, away from prayer and Bible reading, people that are saved. A terrible thing happens. The sadness of losing your song. What a terrible thing to go through life as a Christian, but you've lost your song. You've lost that joy. And only God can give you. Israel is the main subject as far as the country is concerned in the Bible. The Bible is a Jewish book. It's all about God's people, Old Testament and New. God loved Israel enough to give them a land. God gave them the law. They dismissed it. God gave them the land. They defiled it. The Lord gave them the Lord, and they defiled him. You'll see all through the Old Testament is these different prophets wrote. There's a big change in Israel. The thing that shook everything up is those three things I just mentioned, and God had had enough. Babylon. Babylon. And they came. God brought it. talks about Nebuchadnezzar, the king. He was God's servant. Nebuchadnezzar, an ungodly, wicked king, was God's servant. God can use anybody. He'll even use the lost to bring glory to him. Did it with Cyrus too. Yeah. Psalm 137 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion, Jerusalem. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away, required of us a song. They that wasted us required us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do remember thee, let thy tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem among my chief joy. Things happen to you within life many times and you don't expect it. Israel got in the habit of committing those three things when God gave them the law of the land and the Lord. They weren't thankful about it. And the further they got away from the Lord, the worse it was. Until God allowed Babylon to come into the mix. Have you ever been blindsided by something within your life you didn't expect? And it really just put everything upside down. You didn't see it coming. The story is told about Chirpy the bird. Chirpy the bird, the owner had it in a cage, parakeet. And he would sing, you know, like any parakeet would, and so forth, happy and everything else. And the owner got it in her mind that she was going to clean the cage. Well, she didn't do it the right way. It seems that she got out the vacuum cleaner and she's going to clean the bird cage. And she takes off the attachment off the vacuum cleaner and puts it inside the bird cage. Chirpy's up in the corner. And right then the phone rang. And she turned to get the phone, and that vacuum cleaner was gone. And just as she was reaching for the phone, there goes Chirpy. Gone in the cleaner. Boy, she put everything down right away. She opened up the vacuum cleaner and took the bag and ripped it open, and sure enough, there was Chirpy. He was just covered with all kinds of dust and debris and everything else that you're going to find in a vacuum cleaner and so forth. He was alive, but stunned. She ran the water in the sink and took Chirpy over by the sink and put him underneath that water and scrubbed him up real good and all of that kind of stuff. And then she realized he was not enjoying this too much, for sure, that a parakeet shouldn't be under that. So she got him all clean and everything, but he was all sopping wet, so she couldn't allow that to happen either, so she got out the blow dryer. And so, excuse me, here she is blow drying the parakeet. The parakeet just wide eyes open about everything that's going on. And he never knew what hit him at all. And a reporter heard about it and wrote a story about it as well. And days later, the reporter called and saw to see how Chirpy was doing after the ordeal. And the owner said, well, Chirpy doesn't sing anymore. He just sits and stares. Didn't knew what hit him. Things happen in life. Can't imagine it happened. Never expected it. Came out of nowhere. Take your song away. There's sadness in that. We need to learn the lesson of Babylon. Babylon is a picture of the world. And it says here in our text that this is where God allowed his people to be forced to go into bondage. 70 years. And here in chapter 37, we just saw that they wanted heaven to make fun of them, the Babylonians. He said, go ahead, sing us a song. Mm-hmm. They were going ahead and mocking them because of their situation, what was going on. Babylon, a picture of the world, with its vanity and vexation and vileness. That's what's out there. God's people in the wrong place. The song's gone. The world, Babylon, and wants you to sing. Oh, we'll sing your Christian songs. We'll put it on TV and make records of it, and we'll have Elvis sing some religious songs, and we're just mocking you. Have no holiness at all. It's the world. They came from the holy city of Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem represents salvation, represents the Savior, represents the saints, those that were God's people, but they were taken away. Still got the song in you. You won't have any song you go in the world. I've been dealing with lots of folks since I started pastoring 45 years ago. I've seen this over and over again. Just this last month, I've seen it again. You'd never think that this person could lose their song. But they did. They didn't listen to the Word of God anymore. What a sad thing of losing your song. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is that what you have? That's what you should have. The further away you get from God, the further away you get from the Bible and church and so forth, the things that would feed you, help you, make you stronger, make you wiser, little by little, the song just becomes noise rather than having meaning to it. Showing your love. The Bible tells us to make melody within our life. Within our lives, our Christian lives. 3 points quickly I want to share with you. First of all, the sad misery of a captured Christian. A captured Christian. One of God's people, Babylonians came down and captured them. Took them away. You're going to always reap what you sow. It's a Bible principle. Get used to it. You're not going to get away with something with God. God sees all. He knows where you've been, what you've been doing, what you haven't been doing. You don't want to go through a form that doesn't mean anything within your life. The song's supposed to come from the heart, my friend. You can't be in the world and still have a song. Matter of fact, that's a proof that you're saved. If you're away from God, you feel miserable, praise God. Proves you're saved in the first place. Because if you weren't saved, you could enjoy it out there. But it'll ruin your life and it'll take your song away. Is there sadness when you're not having sweet fellowship with God and God's people? There's no joy in sin. You think that the lost are the ones that are the unhappiest people in the world? No, that's not true. The unhappiest person is somebody that saves, knows the truth, and goes into the world. That's an unhappy person. That joy is gone. That ship sailed. I don't want to go through life with no joy, with no song. I don't want to just exist. I want to live. Jesus said, I've come to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. The overabundant life that will keep you going again and again and again. People can be lost and cover up their sadness with laughter. How many comedians have you known over the years? They were laughing all the time, making other people laugh and everything, and then kill themselves. It's a cover-up. Wasn't real. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, please. Keep your place, of course. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. To your right, a few books. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise and for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. There's that fake laughter. There's that fake happiness. It's only there for a little while. Solomon says it's like the thorns under a pot crackling. That's the laughter of a fool. It's empty. It's no substance to it. It's plastic. You see, success does not bring joy. Real failure is achieving at the wrong thing. You can achieve in things that are wrong. How many wicked things do we have out here in the world? Boy, they've made millionaires out of all kinds of people. You got Zuckerberg taking advantage of people, going against Christians and his Facebook. Anyone that has any common sense at all, they shut them out. You succeed at the wrong thing, and you can just have it all of the playthings, all of the money and everything else. You can have it all but joy. What about the ecstasy of the soul when you have peace with God? We don't have peace with all of the fear that we allow to happen within our lives. When you get to be my age and you come down with a flu that I had even this week, I wondered, just laying in my bed, just groaning, is this going to be the day I go? You don't know. No one does. Are you prepared? Do you have the joy to be able to go? Even though my body would not want to have joy, there was joy in my heart for sure. Because I was ready. Prepared. No matter when it does come. So I don't have to fear death. Don't have to fear disease. If it comes, it comes. You don't stop. You continue to go for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy. Only God can give you that kind of thing. How about another course that we've learned? Joy is a flag. Everybody remember that? Let's try to sing it, huh? Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, when the king is in residence there. So let it fly, let the whole world know. Let the whole world know, let the whole world know. So let it fly, let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. Amen. That's the joy that the Bible's talking about. You see, God loves you enough not to allow joy to be in your life when you're in sin. He takes away the joy. He does that out of his love for you. Something has to wake up people. They just go on and on and on in their sin. Everything's the same next day, so forth. God will engineer your sorrow. Jeremiah 25. The book of Jeremiah. Chapter 25. Don't believe what I'm telling you, so you got to read it for yourself. Jeremiah 25, verse 8. Jeremiah says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all of the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all of the nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness." The voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of their candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So right there, I showed you also in verse 9 there that God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. He did what God told him to do. Come down and get God's people. You know, loving God, keeping close to him, being thankful to him every day is so important within your life. God can have that song that you enjoy so much taken away, because he will love you enough not to allow you to have joy in sin. In the world, not going to happen. The story told of a father and three sons out in the hills, I'll say Kentucky, that they stopped going to church. They were rednecks and everything, and people tried to persuade them to come back to church and everything, and they would not, and well, they were harsh against the church folks and everything else. And one day, one of the boys, one of the young men, he got bit by a rattlesnake. Because it was just going on and on and on, and all of a sudden he got bit with this rattlesnake. Called in the doctor finally, because he was sick at first, but then the doctor came and he said, "There's nothing else I can do. All you can do is pray now." And so they said, "Pastor, would you go ahead and pray over him?" Didn't ask him what to pray. So the preacher gets up there and said, "Lord, you know the situation with this man and his brothers and his father, especially his ungodly, mean father. Lord, I want to thank you for the rattlesnake. Lord, I want to ask you to bring more rattlesnakes." and I think of the Father, I want you to bring a big rattlesnake. Matter of fact, send more of them. Whatever it takes. Life's too short to play around in sin in the world. Try to go through life without a song, brother. Ephesians 5:18 tells you all about being filled with the Spirit and so forth. Didn't say anything about speaking in tongues or anything else, but it does say to sing when you're filled with the Spirit. Make melody in your heart unto the Lord. How much singing do you do? How much joy is in your life? Things like that gonna take it out of your life. So the first thing is the sad misery of a captured Christian. And the second point is the stinging memory. Stinging memory. Psalm 137 is what we were looking at. Let me get back to it. I lost it. Psalm 137. See verse 1? It says, when we remembered Zion. They remembered the good days when they had the song, when they were in Zion, Jerusalem. They remembered the stinging memory. Somebody says, well, not me, Pastor. I'm away from God and everything else, and I'm just as happy as can be and everything else. What about that? It just proves you're not saved. First John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. God's people will not have a song in the world. They're busy and selfish with what they want. Yes, it's stinging memory. Thirdly, the sarcastic mockery. See there in verses 2 and 3, where I mentioned this a few minutes ago. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. When it says harps, folks, don't get excited. It's not talking about the big can of harp that we're used to here in the West and everything. This harp was just like a little zephyr type of thing. Like a super miniature harp. That's the same thing that David played. And with his fingers holding it, cradling it. Mrs. Drake has one like that as well. She plays upon her knees. When she does do it, doesn't do it very often. But there, that's what it says there in verse 2. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away required of us a song. They said, come on, I want to hear some mirth. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You can't. You can't. But you will have ridicule from others all around you. Jesus talked there in John chapter 15. He said, don't be surprised when they hate you. They hated me first. And they mocked him. Even then they... in the crucifixion, over and over again. That's what the world does, folks. You see how wicked this has all happened? Even here in our great nation. This went back. FDR. All of these other guys. Obama. Everything that came along. God gave us one reprieve for 4 years. And then gave us the worst. I'm looking for Jesus coming anytime. No doubt about it. Some Christians, they say, oh, well, we're just trying to reach the world and everything, so we'll go ahead and sing some gospel hymns down here at the bar. That's casting pearls before a swine, friends. Jesus warned about that kind of thing. It's blasphemy. Not holy at all. Why we sing the old-fashioned hymns like we did? What did we sing this morning? Take time to be holy. Holy. Where are the holy Christians anymore? Guess we got away from that, huh? And the song went with us, too. The fourth point is, it silenced their memory. Silence the melody, excuse me, is what I meant to say. Look at verse 4. How shall we sing in the land, Lord's song in a strange land? For if I forget, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleaved to the roof. Silenced melody. What about singing in the Bible? What was the first recorded song?
Song of Moses.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was a song of deliverance. He wasn't talking about all of these new songs that we have out today, supposed to be Christian songs and so forth. It's not like what the Bible has at all. It was a song of deliverance is what happened there. Look at Psalm 32. Well, let me just quote it to you. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. What's Selah mean?
Think about it.
That's right. Think on that. Calls your attention to what was just said. Take a pause. Just don't read on. Think about what I just said. Important that we learn that in our lives. Go to Psalm 40. Psalm chapter 40. I hope you know this passage well also, Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Well, you get saved, you got something to sing about now. You got something solid. Put my feet on a solid rock, brother. I'm safe. I know that I have eternal life. Brother, I'll sing about that. That's a song of deliverance we're talking about. That's what our songs need to be about. Don't get over that. Don't get over your salvation. No doubt about me not being a good singer. Somebody said I was a prisoner singer. I was always behind a few bars and could not find the key. And so, but that's what a prisoner singer is. But do your best to sing, and sing always. Don't lose your song. Don't let God take it away from you, because the world will, so you can get it back. And you only get it back by the Lord and what He has done for you. What's going to take your song away? You think sorrow will take away your song? Remember when Jesus was there in, just before he went to Gethsemane, because he's going to be crucified that next day, he got them all together. They had the Passover supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. And it says, after they had that last supper, they all sung a hymn and went out. Sorrow doesn't take away your song when you're right with God. What's going to take away your song? Suffering? Acts chapter 16, you find Paul and Silas in a prison, in a jail, underground jail. And at midnight, they sang and praised God. What's going to take away your song? That's why it tells you over in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 29 that God gives us songs in the night. Something real and lasting within your life. Do you have that? Or have you allowed the world or someone in the world, some wicked person, some quote, friend of yours, to lead you astray, away from God's house, away from the things of God, and you lost your song? I thought this message was important for all of us. Unusual, yes, but needed, I think. When that nation is under the control of wicked people, the people mourn. That's what it says. There's a lot of mourning going around for what's happening. That's affecting our lives every day. Through it all, brethren, don't lose your song. You're the victor through Jesus Christ. There is victory in Jesus. Be wise. Don't be persuaded away from the things of God. You'll be glad that you did. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. I pray the message came across the way I wanted it to, the way you wanted it to, the way you gave it to me. And Lord, that we might be a happy, joyful people, not just those that put on a giddy, fake song, something that comes from the heart that's real within the life. Pray that each one of us will make sure that that is safe within our lives. Help us to love you more and sing more to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. In your hymn books, please. That's great. That guess that thing is going to go on forever. 220. Keep your eyes right there on Jesus. He's the one that loves you most. Don't be persuaded to the world or ungodliness. Because we all have to give an account to God. Romans 14:12. Let's all stand as we sing number 220. You can freely come to the altar, whatever you need to do, but make it real in your life this morning. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There is light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Praise God. Keep us all. Heavenly Father, send us away rejoicing. I pray, Lord, that we might be a witness to others, that they see our joy in the things of God, the things of going to church and reading our Bible. Help us all to be faithful to you. Help us as we grow in Christ. Bless, even though we don't have a Sunday service tonight, may we gather together at home. May we study the Word of God and talk about it. May that be part of our family. Bless as we go our ways. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Fellowship together, won't you please?